Heavenly Father, truly, Lord, today that's all we can do is just believe the report. Father, you told us that we could only believe that all things are possible. And Lord, help our unbelief that we can believe, Lord. Move all doubt away, all hindrance away. Let a channel of faith be there, Lord, that we put a channel that you can send your word right down through, Lord, and quicken us to life, Lord. We want to be a living tabernacle of God's dwelling place, Lord. So help us today to yield our vessels to you. And Lord, let you come and channel yourself, Lord. Because without you, Lord, we are nothing. We cannot do it within ourselves. There is no boasting within me, Lord. If I glory in the Lord. So help us today to just let a year, Lord, hear what the Word of God is saying in this hour. And let it come alive in us. Let it move us right on up the ladder. For we're climbing Jacob's ladder every day. When this world's on fire, Lord, you know I'm coming up higher. For I'm climbing Jacob's ladder every day. Let that be in every believer, Lord. That we're taking step by step, Lord. Day by day, Lord. That we're walking up the King's highway. Oh, Lord, thank you for letting me know the way, the truth, and the life. And putting something in me, Lord, that I could receive it. I say thank you. Thank you for being so good, so lovely, and so kind. So long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish, but that all would come unto repentance. We thank you, Father, today. Bless now as we go into your word for a few moments, Lord, and as we attempt to say something, Lord, let the articles of God come out through, Lord. Let us only speak that's already been given. Let the unction of the Holy One come and anoint. And whatever's accomplished throughout this day, we certainly will thank you and we appreciate you. And we love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to, you can be seated. Good to be back in the house of the Lord again and see everyone that's out. Crowd might be small, but, you know, Jesus had a small crowd. So I don't feel too bad. You know, he didn't have too many staying with him. The world don't want it, but the bride wants it. And she's got something to receive it. So thank God. Just thank God for Jesus. Amen. I really want to say that. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Because through him, Paul said, we live, we move, and we have our beings. So without him, you don't really live, you don't move, and you have no beings. Only in him. So, you know, the people of the world think they're living when they're not living. Not really. They're not living. They're living. They're dead. Yeah. Even while they're passing to this life, they're dead. But see, when we got the life of Christ, we can't die. See? So we're not worrying about the body. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the second death. And there's no second death for the bride. And boy, that should make us shout. That should make us so thankful. You know, they ain't got nothing to look forward to, but we have. See, we got everything to look forward to, and they got nothing. Their end is absolutely total death. You know, I was just thinking the other day, you know, we talk so much about death, and we talk about the soul that sinneth. It shall die. Now, you know, the reason I like those words, me being a common fellow, I take the word for what it says. The value, if it says die, that means, if I understand what dying is, that means I die. I don't live, I die. I don't know how you're going to educate, get educated and take the death out of it and say, no, it means you live. No, I don't think you're going to change the meaning. If it says you die, then let it stay at that. So, but see, a lot of people can't say that they die. But see, the reason I'm saying that means if you go to the lake of fire, you die. Amen. That means if you're born again here, something had to die. See? Not something kept on living, something died. And if we can see that our old nature died, what's going to happen with everybody else's old nature? You mean it's going to go there and live? It has to die. And the church world don't want to accept that. To me, it's only simple terms. I know what die means. I've seen things die. And that means they don't live no more. That means they're not around no more very long. If you let them lay out, they don't last too long. When anything dead don't last too long, I don't care if you don't bury it. It don't last too long. You ain't gonna see it in eternity. It's got no eternal quality about it. It's just something that was death was pronounced on it before it got here. Really. Okay. Now we're back a little bit on the same thought we was last Sunday. We want to deal a little bit more with how we started the theophany, how that we bypassed it. We come down here from thought, attribute to flesh, to be tempted, to be tested. And when we're proven, we go back. So by bypassing that theophany, we are limited. We don't know all things. You know, Jesus, by coming down through that, as Brother Branham said, he knew all things. Now, we are different in him in that aspect. We will one day will know all things. Brother Branham said, you'll look back, and when you get in that theophany, and you'll know where you come from. You, in other words, you will be aware what you come through, that you've been redeemed, and you swung back. There will be a knowledge in that to realize that you come from somewhere to there. So what we are doing, we're trying to get back to that theophany. We're trying to get back to that eternal equality. And when God thought of us and an attribute, then he knew that the fall would bring on death, and even death struck us. It did. Death struck us, even in the natural and spiritual. That's why the old nature, there was death in it. See? If we hadn't have got rid of it here, we'd have went there. So thank God that he's allowed us to get rid of death here. He's allowed us to come to a knowledge of a revelation that we were part of him. See, anything not part of him, you can't get rid of it. Amen. If only when you realize that you were predestinated. And Brother Branham said that proves predestination. That if we have an eternal house, we have an eternal equality. That means we were a thought. See, if we hadn't been a thought, then we'd have had to been denialated too. The only reason why that you're not going to be denialated is because you was a thought. And that thought is eternal. You don't run that thought out. That thought has a quality about it. It's real. The prophet said that thought is real. And it's got an attribute that must live. Must not be destroyed. That's why we come down through a house of clay to go through a lot of things, and we're putting up with a lot of things. Yeah. And you might as well get adjusted if you're going to put up with it. Amen. As long as you're wearing the old coat. See? The old coat, it's a good sign. We know, in our earthly, talking about earthly speaking, if you get some kind of material or something, it's going to decay as time goes on. So he's used this body as an old coat. Uh-huh. And that means it's going to wear out. Uh-huh. It's going to decay. Amen. It's going to wrinkle up. Yeah. It's going to begin to look bad and fall apart.
That's right.
If time goes on. Yeah. And that's what we're doing. You know, but one day we're going to shed this old coat off. Amen.
And Brother Branham said, we'll hang it in the closet somewhere, so put it out here in the cemetery for a memorial, for people to talk about. See, his old coat's laying right out there. Got a tombstone set up by it. Said Earl Childress, born in 1930, January the 1st, and died so-and-so. I can't put that on it yet. That's time will take care of that. Time will take care of that. But what I'm saying, we are fading out. And the old coat, as the song says, is awful bad worn. And about ready to put on a new coat. Take off the old coat. And that's what we're about ready to do. Many has already done it. See, many of your loved ones has already shedded the old coat, which had a lot of problems in it. See, but where they're at now is no problem, and they have all knowledge. What a change. What a change. We are limited here as a mortal. We cannot know all things. That's why we can only go so far. We can only grasp so much. Then we stop. We cannot really see it all. Why, it'll be such a change that it would almost blow you. When we once enter into that word form body, it's so marvelous when you hear Brother Branham begin to tell how what all that's in it, all understanding, all knowledge, everything. That's why nothing fooled Jesus, because he was all knowledge. He was all knowing. He understood everything in that form. Now, a lot of times readers said he didn't know this, he didn't know that. He was talking about the fleshly form. In that, he didn't know. But as God, he knowed. See? So you got to be able to write and divide it. Because they say, well, Jesus didn't know when the time was going to come and all that. And only the Father. Well, you got to understand, he was both man and God. So in the man, he didn't understand. He was limited. But in the theophany, by coming that way, there was no limit. He knew all things. You just because he come flesh, don't mean he changed. He wasn't God. He was still God. He was the same person all the time, just taking on another form. See? And remember, one time he didn't have that form. See, always remember, God at one time did not wear the word form body. Can you see it? That body had to be prepared for him. Isn't that strange? See? And if you look, it was eternal, but it had to be prepared or come into existence. At one time, he didn't need that body. But there come a time that he needed that body. And there's going to come a time you need that body. See? And thank God for it. A lot of people don't have it. Now you think about a man going off and don't have that body. Think of the man that died. Brother Branham said all believers has that body. Every believer has that body. Waiting. Every believer. Look at the Old Testament. Those prophets and everything, when they came back in that body. See? Even the witch raised Samuel or... See, he came back and Brother Branham said he was in that theophany. Still a prophet. Is that right? And all, still a prophet. Came back in that theophany. He even had one. The Old Testament saints had one. That's strange. It's pretty deep. It's pretty deep. If you notice when Moses and Elijah come on the Mount of Transfiguration, they had that body. Is that right? They had that body. And Brother Branham said that body can appear and disappear. And he said that body, your five senses cannot pick it up. It can be right here, and it is right here. Brother Branham said those bodies is right here in another dimension. But they can't be seen with the natural eye unless a transformation or something that allow you to go in there and see it. Other words, we are limited. It can be right around us and everything it is, and we can't pick it up with this. Ain't nobody can see it now with this, without a God act in her lives that he let us see it. Now, the reason a lot of people seen it, they changed. They didn't just see it with their five inlets. Brother Branham said it was a used limit. You could not read it. You could not pick it up with that. It took some kind of transformation. Transform something and put you in another dimension where you can see it. That's the reason why the dead can come and with a glorified body and everything, he can put them in another dimension and hide them from whomsoever he wants to. See? Brother Brand's talking about sometime we think we're going to go so far off, it'll be so close, you just go into another dimension. If we can only see, if God would allow us to see them, they're all around us. So great a cloud of witnesses. They're all around us. We told the story, I think, last Sunday, and Brother Branham repeats that in Melchizedek and Question and Answer, book number 4. He was saying, and when they checked, when they called the police out, this woman, her car absolutely hit this man. The witnesses behind it said the car chugged. Now think of it. It chugged. In other words, it was a force. It jarred the car. And the people behind it witnessed. She gets out and runs back to find the old man. They even seen him tumbling in his overcoat on, the same one he was wearing when he was killed. And seen that overcoat flipping in the air, seen the old man flipping in the air. And when they got out and tried to find him, they couldn't find him. And when they called the police out, the police verified about 5 years before that, the old man got killed. That exactly spot. And had an overcoat on and absolutely got killed there. That was that old man back. Just for witness. God allows these things. Sometimes we wonder why. I don't know why God allowed it, but he brought the man back in a theophany farm and let the car hit it. Appear and disappear. In other words, then when they tried to find it, they wouldn't nothing. He let a car hit a worm-form body. Isn't it marvelous? Let a car chug it and bumped it. And she seen it, and they witnessed, seen the old man flipping just like he'd done when he got killed. Exactly the thing over again, only he was in a worm-form body that time and had the old coat on. God even reserved the old coat and everything and put the old coat on a worm-form body and let the car hit it. Isn't it something? Oh, my. Don't limit God. God can do anything he wants to do. See? And Brother Branham said one of those, talk about them those little lights they see, you know. One day, he said, one of them will drop down and pick you up. That's that word form. And remember that form can change from one form to another. It's a word form all the time, but it can symbol something else. It could be a chariot, it could be anything. Come right down and just pick you up and carry you home. Amen. It's close by. It's closer than you may think. Sometimes, because we are limited, you know, we think way off somewhere, you know, million miles. I mean in the sense, you know, million miles, and it'll take us a long time to get it. You know, death strikes you in a moment's time. That body's done got you. That body's picked you up. That's right. Just in a moment's time. You ain't out here taking a flight through the air somewhere and going way off. Your soul just moving and going way off somewhere. That grabs you as quick as you die. Oh, my. That thing picks you up. You ain't going to be alone. That thing's waiting on you. Yes, sir. It knows the very moment that you're going to depart from this body, it grabs you. Oh, God help us. We got to be spiritual, friends. This thing is going to come so real to us before we leave here that we won't be excited at all when we see it. When you look at it, he might even allow you to look at that before you get in it. God does anything he wants to do. Is that right? When Moses wanted to see God, he said, all right. He said, but you can't see my face. There ain't no man can look on my face and live. He told Moses, you cannot look at my face, but since you desire to see me, I'm going to let you see me, but just my back part. I'm going to put my hand over your face. You go up there that cliff and get in that cage there, that cliff, and I'm going to pass by, and while I'm passing by, I'm going to throw my hand over your face. That's God's hands. Threw his hand over your face and said, when I get to a certain place where I've already passed by you, I'll let you see my back. I pull my hand off and let you see a back. And what do you see? Brother Bram says, the back part of a man. But it was a word form body that he was in. Let Moses see it. It was a theophany form. It was a back of a man. His potential image that he was wearing then until he come on down to flesh. But he made it look like the fleshly man. Ain't it amazing how you can take a word form and make it look just like a fleshly man? You couldn't tell a bit of difference in it. Look like it. Have your eyes. Have everything. A word form body assembles you from one end to the other. That's exciting. That's exciting. How God can make that. And turn around then and take that thing that assembles you, got eyes and got everything else, and put it in that glorified body and make it like a spirit realm. Make it like an understanding. That's why the intel is so great. That's why you never change. But that body will go inside of a glorified form and take up for your spirit realm and give you all knowing yet. All knowing and everything. It works just like it always worked. It never changed. It'll change its form. But it'll still be called that word form body. That word form body is a spiritual body. It's really a spirit formed in a way. He makes a spirit form. But remember, before the beginning, God was not in that body. If you notice in St. John, I want to read the scripture, St. John 1. Just lay in a couple of scriptures, then we'll give you a few quotes. And just think on these things, because one day you're going to have it. You might well learn a little bit about it now. In other words, won't be no surprise for you when you once get out of this. You'll look and say, here's that body that he told me about that's been waiting me all the time. This body has been waiting around, waiting for you all the time to come to it. See what I mean? It's, well, you know, like Brother Branham, he used the word prepared before the foundation of the world. In the thought of God, it was. See, we all, but then we know that it come a time that when God needs it, he prepares it. It don't take him long to do it. All he got to do is speak. So it's no big deal now. God, it ain't like us. It might take us 2 months to build a house. It don't take God long to build a house. He can just speak and there's a house. See, so don't get nervous and say, well, how long does it take? You know, sometimes we think prepare, you know. We think how it takes us, you know. It don't take God long. And the bad guy, he's got it. That's how he prepares it. He speaks it and it's there. Now, if he wanted to linger and let somebody see him do it, he could do that too. But remember, he can build anything in a moment's time. So don't get your mind way off and think, well, he's been working on this thing for years and years and years. Well, he makes it sound like that to you because you're limited. That's your understanding of preparing something. Preparing something to you, it's time involved. But it don't take God long. See, that's the difference in God and you. God's got to use something that speaks. And didn't he say it? And those angels come there at the tomb of Jesus. They were men. Is that right? They were in word form bodies. That's what they were. And they were seen as men. They talked. Is that right? Well, he said, why seek you living among the dead? They were there, looked like men and everything. Brother Branham said, God speaks them and unspeaks them. He can do an angel and says, Gable, come on down here. And puts him in a body and send him on down there to do his job. Then just speaks it out of existence. Don't even use them more. Just he can have them in a fleshly form. If he wants to, go on down and do a job, just speak it. Don't you see? Go on down there, Gable, get in this body. And to do this job, you got to be in the body. Amen. So I need this body, poof. Yeah. And here it is. And when you get done, poof. Go back to where you was before. Oh, my. I'm trying to make it so simple where we as human beings kind of pick up a little bit how God does things. So it don't take God long to put a body here and put an angel in it and walk him up here and do a job. Then you don't need that body. He just says, go back to where you were, rest a while, so to speak. And when I need you again, I'll call for you. Amen? Oh, my. this gets pretty deep, but it's exciting. This is the supernatural God. His thinking, well, his ways is higher than our ways. Is that right? And his thinking, his doing, well, there's no comparison. So don't kill yourself trying to gather it all. You can only get so much. So when you stop, you just stop. That means your limit. See, some people, they want to go beyond their limitation, you see. Don't worry, you can't do it. God controls that. Yeah. But he can let these eyes see that body. He can allow these natural eyes, many people seeing that that word form or that pillar of fire. That pillar of fire was a word form body. I don't care what it's called. That was a word form body. That was God or Melchizedek in that body. That's what went down into hell when Jesus died. Jesus in and out that body. I mean, he can do it like he says. When he died, he picked up the theophany, that pillar of fire, and went down into Hades and preached to them. Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. So he can use that body anytime he wants to. That body can appear and disappear because he came back. Even in this day, he came back in the form of Melchizedek. Yes, sir. He come back. He's used that form of Melchizedek, if you'd only realize it, so many times since the crucifixion. I mean, you know, after he come flesh, we don't hear about Melchizedek, but if you notice how Brother Branham put it, he comes and gets back in that form. He's got a glorified form. He just leaves that glorified form. He likes to travel in the theophany form. Can you see what I mean? He don't bring that glorified form down here all the time, but he does come in his theophany form. Right. See, he comes anytime he wants to. He come to Brother Branham, had the picture taken, everything else. That was Jesus Christ. That was that theophany form, visiting Brother Branham. Not his glorified form. That was that pillar of fire. Amen. Don't you see? That we know it, in a sense, as Melchizedek. Now, a lot of people might say Melchizedek appeared again this day. Well, sure he did. Sure he did. But Melchizedek is Jesus Christ. When Paul met him on the road of Damascus, he was in that word form body. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus." Did he do it? Oh, my. So we could just go through the Bible and see that he appeared in that form many times. The fact about it, every time. He appeared to Abraham. Is that right? Now, Brother Branham used that many times when he appeared to Abraham. When Abraham seen him, he said he was in his theophany form. Walked up as a man. God can do anything he wants to do. So in St. John 1 in verse 1, in the beginning. Now I want you to notice the word "in the beginning." Yeah. See? Now that's when God began to form himself down as a word form. That was called "in the beginning." In the beginning was the Word. What was it before the beginning? He was Spirit. Can you see what I'm talking about? He was not even theophany. He was not even bringing himself down. He had no use for it. He was just a supernatural God spirit form. No word form yet. Spirit form. Little difference. Little different. God is a spirit. But we notice at a certain time, he began to bring himself down where he could be seen. By transformation, he could be seen. So God wanted to come, and so he brought himself down as a little light. They begin to discover that little halo, that little light. It would appear and disappear. That was God. And Brother Branham was talking about, in other words, Melchizedek had no beginning of days and no ending of days. No father and no mother. But he said Jesus had beginning of days and ending of days, and he had a father and had a mother. Did you get me? And yet he was God. But he had a father and he had a mother. Can we say amen to that? Now he might not have had a natural father, but he had a father. And he had a mother. He couldn't got here without a father. The flesh. Understand? See, watch out, Brother Man put this. So Melchizedek had none of it, but Jesus did. But yet he was Melchizedek.
That's right.
Oh, my. See, don't you see where the church world has missed it? That they haven't touched this. It took a prophet to bring all this out. But this bride must understand and see this. Big Trouble Gate, it was brought for the bride. You don't need to talk to the world out here about this. This is way over their head. You would just stir them up to talk about it. They think you lost your mind or something. So you're better off just to talk all this. This is a sermon that really only need to be preached to the bride. I'm being real honest with you. You don't need to talk this to nobody else. If they're carnal, it will blow their minds. They'll just think you're nutty. That's what they'll think. They'll think you're nutty. That's all they can read. They say, you know she's what, nutty? She didn't used to talk like that. She says she's got another body. She's got something out here, a word form. She can appear and disappear. She might come back and talk to you. Well, I wouldn't doubt in a bit that my father hasn't come back and talked to my mother. Brothers and sisters, you'll be amazed what God allows go on after they leave here.
That's
the truth, friends. I wonder how many times that Brother Van has visited people since he's left here. I really do. I wonder how many times God has allowed that man come back in word form and appear to people. I wonder.
Yeah.
Enough to blow your mind when you think about it. Hey, they ain't far off anyhow. When Brother Branham had already took this change, he looked back and seen his body. He wasn't too far off. He could see that land. He's already somewhere. And he said just a few feet. Is that right? Just a few feet, but it's in another dimension. But see, by they look back and they've seen that body, seen how it was laying and everything. Had a perfect understanding of it. And knowing he had to come back and go to it. And didn't desire it. Because he had one so much better. Who in the world would ever get that word for him but want to leave it? Oh, my. It's almost beyond me. If you ever go, that's why when they brought people back a lot of time, they said, why did you do it? Have you noticed many people have been raised from the dead and they already moved into another dimension? They begin to see other things they had never dreamed of. And it was so perfect, they said, why in the world did you bother me? Why did you call me back? They had left that body. Anytime you die, you leave a body.
That's right.
I don't care if for 5 minutes or what it is, you're out of the body.
Amen.
Life does not stay in a dead body.
No.
The moment that body is dead, life is gone. Your soul moves out of it.
Right.
And it moves back in it when it comes to life.
Amen.
Just like it did the first time. Oh, my. Does it make sense, though? Does it really make sense? Okay, I was wondering, I don't want you to think I'm nutty. I mean, because you get on these things all the time, people think you went off. But brothers and sisters, we're talking about something real. Brother Brandon, when he went beyond the curtain of time, he tried to make it so real to us. And it's hard for us in these tabernacles to grasp. But Brother Branham went there, and he wasn't in this tabernacle, and it was so real to him. And when he come back, he tried to make that so real that we could pick up a glimpse of it. And we just barely pick up a glimpse of it. But Brother Branham tried to tell us it was real. Those people was for real. He handled them. They talked. They rejoiced. They were happy. They had no troubles. See, in that new coat, you don't have no problems. You don't know what sickness is. It can't even touch that body. It can't even come close to that body. Sickness just deals with flesh and blood. That's why flesh and blood can't go there. If you did, you'd have problems there. But it can't go there. He's got to get rid of it. He's going to have a life that Satan can't do nothing with. Is that right? See, that's why in the millennial, only way Satan's bound, he just got no flesh and blood to work with. That's the only way he's bound.
Yes.
People's trying to put flesh and blood in the millennial, it almost blows my mind.
Right.
People in this message, I've had them argue, why 50% of them put flesh and blood in the millennial.
Yes.
They put people over the millennial. There ain't going to be no flesh and blood in the millennial.
Right.
There ain't going to be no children born in the millennial. There ain't going to be nothing but glorified for them there.
Yeah.
And Satan's right there watching them.
Yeah.
the chains that he bound with is only circumstances. They've changed from life to glorified. That's all the chain is. It ain't a long chain or something. They got him chained up to a post over here. He can't break it. It's just a circumstance. He has nothing to work with. All of his subjects in hell. He's just as much loose as he's ever loose in one sense. They use the word where we can read it while we're here in these models. He's bound by chain. Well, they put it like a natural because where we mortals could say, well, he's bound. But really, in the other sense, when you get there, he's not bound in one sense. He's loose as he ever was. He just can't do nothing. He'd probably be walking around looking. And we'll say, go ahead, Satan. You ain't going to be long.
Yeah.
Why don't you touch me?
Yeah.
He'll say, I can't. What's the matter? You've been changed. Oh. You mean he'll be there? And, well, you could talk to anyone by your bit. Oh, friends. See, by our carnality, we misinterpret things. Oh, we got Satan in a prison somewhere. And prison, he can be right here. They're in a soul's in prison now. Even in prison in this house. A prison house. Is that right? Sometimes we think, well, a prison. Our interpretation to words, if you're not spiritual, it'll cause you to not get the meaning.
Right.
You gotta be spiritual. Prison house, and Satan's locked up, and he's in the bottomless pit, and all of this, and he's way off somewhere. Oh, don't never get those ideals.
Right.
Bottom and pit just means something ain't got no foundation. That's all it means. Bottom and pit could be right here. Facts about it, I think I run into and deal with it quite often. That's what I think. Then somebody say, the bottom of the pit. Boy, he's come from a long way from the bottom of the pit. Right here. You go to these churches, you're dealing with the bottomless pit. That's what you're doing. They ain't got no foundation. That's a bottomless pit. Oh, my. I'm trying to put this morning where it won't blow your mind. I know in a sense where you're humans and we're in this mortal body and you're a limit now. I'm trying to tell you this morning, you're a limit. So don't worry yourself and go insane trying to figure some of this out. Just let God reveal what you need to know of it, and whatever you need to know, he'll give it to you. Leave the rest of it alone. Leave the rest of it alone because you'll make yourself a nervous wreck. Because you can't be wrecked in this house yet. How many of those words know what I mean? You can be made nervous wreck in this house if you don't watch Satan. He can drive you up a wall on a doctrine, on anything. He can get your mind and put it in the whirlwind, and you'll go almost insane, and you're a child of God if you allow the fool with you. You the ones got to run him off from here.
Yeah.
Is that right? You got to allow God to run him off. He has an access to your mind anytime he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
He can sleep there if he wants to, which won't be sleeping, but I'm putting it there. He can stay there.
Yeah. That's right.
If you allow him, he can stay in your mind 24 hours every day. If you allow him.
Yeah.
You the person in the sense has got to say, God, get rid of him.
Yeah.
Is that right? And if you don't ask God to get rid of him, God allows him to stay right there. Don't you see how you need to believe God and accept God's word and apply the word to this and run him off? See how simple it is? Sometimes we don't even know how to run God off. Run Satan off. There ain't one way to run him off, and that's by the word. Then Jesus, you know he had Jesus' mind. You think he didn't? Yes, he did. He hid his mind even though he knew all things. But that flesh, he battled that flesh. He made the flesh get tired. He made the flesh get sleepy. He made the flesh get hungry. He made the flesh look at a woman.
Oh,
yeah. Yes, he did. He made that flesh have all kinds of ideals, frustrations. You act like Jesus didn't go through nothing. He went through something. He was tempted in every point that we were tempted at, yet without sin. Is that right? So don't think Jesus, because he was God, he didn't have no problems. He just knowed how to get rid of it. He had a little bit more about him. He had a quality that we didn't have. Is that right? He had one quality that you didn't have. And that was a quality he knew the devil better than you did. Is that right? Because he come down through that word form body, he was God. Both man and God. Oh, my. I'm letting it soak in. And that's the difference in him and other. They are a little bit of difference. Yeah, he was son of God and we were son of God, but they still difference. You can go into the Bible and spell it out. It's there. See? Because Brother Branham said, we bypassed our theophany. He came down through his one. And that's why he knew all things. He said, we come like Adam. Adam absolutely come from attribute or from thought to flesh. I mean, you know, he come down through the spirit realm. He didn't come down through the word form. No. Adam did never step into the word form. Adam absolutely bypassed that. Brother Branham said he come like Adam and me. And then he said, you come like. So Brother Branham bypassed the theophany. They've only been one man that's ever come down through the theophany. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. See what I mean? And that was God himself. Bringing himself down. So in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the theophany, and the theophany was with God, and the theophany was God. You can read it like that. Did you get it? Same difference. Same difference. It was all God. Is that right? So in the beginning was the theophany. That's exactly what he means. And the theophany was with God, and the theophany was God. So that's Melchizedek. That was the form that the Bible readers, and we know it now as Melchizedek. That was God bringing himself down in the beginning. But before the beginning, he was the Spirit. And then the 14th verse. And the Word, see, now always remember, before it's spoken, it's a thought. See? So God never spoke to your body here and put you in it. He come another way for you. But see, here, when God spoke himself and said, let there be. See? Right. See, so God could speak, said, I need a theophany. In other words, that's in the beginning then. It was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and it was spoken, and that means there was some materials or something here. See what I mean? There was something here. Now he didn't do you that way. He let you bypass this to be tested and tried, that you could swing back. But when he come in the beginning, a thought, we come straight from thought or from attribute to flesh. So he let us bypass that word form. He didn't speak it. For us. He could have sent us right down through it, but he had a purpose not to do it, see? Okay. So he said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Okay. Now, verse 18, and no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Now, you remember I talked about Moses. He couldn't see God. He couldn't look upon his face. No man, it says, can look upon God's face and live. Remember that. So Jesus was in the bosom of the Father. He has declared him. That bosom of the Father, Brother Branham said, it was in the Word. The bosom is in the Word. So he came out from the Word, came out from the bosom of the Father. He came out from the Word. Can you see it? So, and he, the one that came out from the Word, has declared him, has made him known. Can you see it? The one that came right out from the bosom is the one that told us what God was. He's one said in St. John 4:24, didn't he? God is a spirit. That was one come out from the bosom of the Father, told us what the Father was. He said, my Father is a spirit. Mm-hmm. Yes. See how you get it straight? Jesus told us what he was all the way through. See? So he could do it. So the only one that revealed the Father was the Son. Is that right? No man knows the Father save the Son, and to whom the Son will reveal him. So every time you ever get a revelation who God is, it's been the Son.
That's right.
Is that right? Okay, now another scripture or so, just running through here. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, let's pick up what Paul called these bodies. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and we'll drop down here to verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, and another flesh a beast, and another flesh other fishes, and another of birds. There also, now watch Paul, a celestial body. Now Paul knew that little far. That's what Paul met on the road to Damascus. Reason Paul could put this in here, Paul had the same revelation, Brother Branham, on this Theophany farm, how God come down. Remember, Paul knew all about this. Facts about he's one brought out, he's one that helped Brother Branham. I mean in the sense. Scripture was already laid in here. See, when Brother Branham told it, a theophany, a word foreign, but remember he went right here and he said, Paul called it a celestial. And he said that is that body. That celestial is that pillar of fire or that word foreign body. So Paul knew all about it. But Paul knew there was another body. Now watch what he says. Body and the bodies of terrestrial. Now that's, you know, Brother Branham was told, Paul, that's this mortal, dying, mortal body. So see, so when we place it in the scripture, you have a celestial body and you have a terrestrial body. See? Then you also read in the resurrection, we have a glorified. All three of these bodies is mentioned in the scripture. Can you see it? All three bodies. Everything's in threes. And it mentions these bodies, and Paul mentioned it all. See? So Brother Branham couldn't go beyond Paul. He had to use the scripture. So what we're talking about this morning, Paul knew all about this. And he laid it in here. Now, let's go to one more place. That's another there. Ephesians 1. And the reason I want to tie this in, we're talking about predestination, because outside of that, you would have no word form body. See, outside of that, that proves predestination. See what I mean? Brother Branham said, that's a proof of predestination. If you got this eternal house, then you knew that you had a beginning somewhere. I mean, you was a thought, had no beginning, but you had to start in the mind of God. See, he was showing everybody didn't come in the mind of God. So the proof predestination is that he thought of you. Now, the wound of the mother, and Brother Branham said, I don't care how cruel that woman is, how bad she's been. He said, because of the little life, that little angel is around her, waiting for that body to be born, especially right up close to when she's fixing to give birth. He said, I don't care how foul a woman can be, she'll get sweet and kind and lovely. Just, I mean, she changes. And he said, it's all because of that little angel is around her. She feels that has come some kind of, it takes her all that bitterness out of her, all that illness out of her, makes her pine. And have you ever noticed a mother just with the other baby? Have you ever been around and watch them? You don't have much problems with them at all. You almost wish they're pregnant all the time. I mean, in that sense, you'd almost wish they're right up that state. Now, I'm being real honest about it. I mean, they just something, it just, you know, they ain't wanting to fuss, they ain't wanting to do nothing. I mean, that they want to see the baby. I mean, they feel something there, and that they want that life so bad to come forth. They've carried it all this time. And Brother Branham said, they don't even have no life of his own yet. Just a little jerking muscles. It just flash. That's all it is. Has no life at all. That life is waiting. That's life. Life is that more that mother's feeling. That's what making her kind and sweet and tender. That little angel's right there. And she knows there's something going on about her. Oh, my. That little life has said, you got something in you that I'm waiting on. Let the mother kind of feel that and everything. You got that there, and I'm waiting. I've got to stay close by, so to speak. In other words, your time is getting very close. And I can't take no trip or no vacation. I'm just here waiting. I'm just trying to make it simple. But I'm right there, and that little angel's right there. And when that little baby is born, then God breathes, Brother Branham said, into it, and it becomes a living soul. God puts that life in it. Can you see it? God puts that life in it. That life can't even get in there without God putting it in there. Ain't that beautiful? Oh, God's watching over you, been watching over you. Brother Ben, I'm talking about even your gene. How he's been watching, how you've been coming through your great, 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 great. And we wonder, has God watched over me all the days of way before you ever got here? You could go back for 6,000 years from Adam to now. He's been watching you travel. He knew where your gene was all the time. He knew you was predestinated. He knew that gene was traveling, and he wouldn't let nothing kill that man until he passed that gene on. That gene had to come right on down. Your great, great, great grandfathers, you've been coming and coming and coming, and God wouldn't allow nothing to take one of them before the time until it was passed on from generation to generation to generation. And that's exactly what God's been doing. He's been watching your spiritual gene. He wouldn't let nothing harm you until you got born again. If you was elect of God, predestinated, you couldn't die before your time. You had to get born again. You had to come and recognize Abba, Father. They would, nothing could destroy you. They might drown you. They have to raise you back. Amen. Car might run over and kill you. You got to be raised back. You got to come back. Why? If you wasn't born again, you can't leave here. You can't leave here like that. God won't allow you to do it. If he does, he'll raise you back. Oh, yes. So don't you see? See, God, well, he watches over his word. That's what the Bible says. He watches over it. There's not one jot or one tittle that will fall to the ground until all be fulfilled. That's what I'm talking about. He's watching over you. You're part of this word. You couldn't do nothing. This had to be fulfilled. You had to come to a place that you heard a certain sound, that you heard his voice, because you're predestinated to hear that. Say, oh my. And man, when you predestinate, Brother Branham said it made music to you. Can you let your mind go back to when the first time you heard a true revelation, it made music to you. There's something in you said, that's right. I can't deny that. There's something about that tells me it's right. He said, that's a proof of predestination. God put a receiver in you that you couldn't throw it off. You had to receive it. Yes. Other people don't want nothing to do with it. And you walk out with it. You'll leave father. You'll leave brother. You'll leave sister and mother. If it takes it, you'll leave your husband. You'll leave your church. You'll leave your community. You'll leave your fine living. You'll give up everything and said, take it all. Before I sell out, you take house and lands and you take everything and give me the clothes on my back and loose me. Yeah, can you loose me because I can't live bound. Amen. I got to serve God. And if you're going to hold me, loose me and let me go and I'll give you everything I got. Oh, Lord. Praise the Lord, wife. You look beautiful today. Amen. Thank the Lord for a good woman.
Amen.
Amen. Sitting back there, she's got her eye right on me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have to watch her husband preach. Have to preach to her. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Oh, won't it be? As Meta said, Brother Branham, which one's going to be your wife there?
Yes.
Said, neither one.
Right.
Neither one. You don't have to worry about that. You all won't be jealous there.
That's right.
I know it's bothering you a little bit now. You knew I had a little blackhead woman and pretty in them eyes and everything, but you don't have to worry about it there. You all be sisters.
Yeah.
You all be my sister. You won't be my wife.
That's
It won't be no jealousy there. It won't mean no more in somebody else in the sense. I know we make it that way. Well, my wife is there. I know that. We're carnal yet. And we have a feeling yet. You know what I mean? Well, we can't forget we live with them. You don't worry about living with them there. It won't bother you. God just give you that to help you along, don't you see? To get children up here. But you don't worry about living together or all of that. All of that be taken care of there. Don't you see? But just to be there with one another means everything, see? And so that's the whole thing. You say, well, I'm going to be with my father, yes. But in a sense, he'll just be one of the family. Yes, you see what I mean? Be a brother. That's all it be. He won't be a father there. Because we only have one father. You see? And everything else that he's had anything to do with is going to be changed. Is that right? How many can see what I mean? If he's getting this body here through a sex program, it won't be there. It won't be there like that. All that he had anything to do with has to be changed. God is all in all. Okay. Ephesians 1 and verse 4 and 5 anyhow. Then I maybe want to read a quote too and we'll come to a close. My time is getting gone. But I do want to try to make this so plain to show you that there is a word form body awaiting us and it's close to around us. And when you heard the truth of this revelation, Brother Branham said you heard from your theophany. That means you had representation. That means you were a thought of God. That you can stake your life on it. He's going to fix you up. See, if it didn't, sometime we would bribe and worry their heads off. But when you know that you're a thought of God, an attribute of God, the whole thing is to know where you come from. If you know where you come from, you should be able to relax. You should be able not to worry. If I come from there, there ain't nobody going to stop me from going back to there because God sees to it. And we, sometimes as human beings, we worry. You know, it's just in us to worry. You know, troubles comes and pressures comes and we lose our senses, so to speak. And we begin to worry and don't know I'm going to make it or don't know this or know that. I know in a sense. And brothers, it's helped me so much to know where I come from. I could have never held up and stood the test. Only thing that helped me, I had a tie post. Oh, I knew where I come from. And I look back to that tie post. And I know the moment that God spoke to me, I knew there was something registered on the inside. And there's no devil can take that out of me. I'll rest right there. I said, he said it. I've accepted. I've drawn my stake there. And I'm going. Don't you see? But if you don't do that, the Satan will run you around. Well, you know, you made a mistake today, and maybe you ain't seed. Don't never let him battle your mind like that. Drive your stake. If this ain't rings a bell, drive your stake and run Satan off. Yeah. I see too many Christians. I'm talking about seed. Allow Satan to bug them to death. Oh, because they're weak in some areas. Maybe the sign they was born under. And boys, Satan just wallows them around. So sometimes they've got a hold of themselves and they're feeling pretty good. Next time you look at them, they've already withered. They can't even talk positive, hardly. That's Satan battling your mind. That's unbelief. And that's why there's to help our unbelief. There's a part of me takes me away from God. It wants me to disbelieve God. Do you have that problem? There's a part of me, if I didn't run the devil off, he'd cause me to doubt this word. Yes, sir, you got to say it. I know my soul can't do it, but there's another part of me begin to say, I don't know. And it can run you right away and cause hindrance in God helping you. I pray we see these things. See, the whole thing, God has given us knowledge and everything. He's told us how to use it. He's told us how to run God off. I mean, run the devil off. But sometimes we let the devil stay around and sing the song until we're sick. You almost have to get somebody else to come along and help you up. You've got to have a doctor. We should never really, in one sense, we're allow ourselves to get in that state. But we do it because we're humans. Is that right? We allow Satan bugs us until sometime it drags this house down. Oh, I know of myself. Now, I haven't always been, you know, up on the mountaintop, not in my house in spirit now. No, I haven't. Now, I've always made it. But, boy, I went through some hard times. And sometimes my wife didn't help me. But sometimes I'd beg her to help me. Boy, you know, sometimes you're almost begging anybody to help you. You're almost begging somebody to give you a hand. You feel all hell's against you. And I mean everything. You feel the pressure. You feel the weight. You say, are there anybody that understands me? I've looked at my wife. I said, honey, please try to understand me. She wouldn't think I was a son of God. And I'm telling her all the time I am. It's hard to get through to her. Have you ever had that problem? Oh, she knows that. She knows me better than anybody else. She sleeps with me sometimes.
Amen.
Not too often, maybe 30 minutes at a time or so. I mean, she changed beds a long time ago. I mean, she's got her room and I got my room. She said, I can't sleep with you. She said, you hit me in the face or you do this or you do that, you know. I just think she wanted to change, but that's all right. I freed her. Then she said, your tapes and your books and your study and you're in your bedroom. And she said, I just want to move out. Well, you got one woman. When the last child married off, she moved out. She moved into the bedroom. She took Kenny's bedroom. He stayed with us 20-some years. And finally, when he was the last one that married, she didn't wait overnight to change her bedroom. She said, I'm moving. I said, help yourself. That's what you want. But God bless her anyhow. I can always open the door and say, hi, honey. She still allows me to do that. You know? And say good night or something like that. She allows me to do that at times. when she's feeling good. If she's feeling good, she'll just go on the bed. Don't talk to me. But that's all right. What I'm trying to tell you, friends, we're mortals, and if you don't watch, see, that's why we should try to be spiritual. Brother Bram said, if you're spiritual, you'll watch spiritual things. Sometimes we are not spiritual enough as we ought to be. We allow ourselves to fall into a state where we're not spiritual. We're too much carnal. We're too much leaning to the flesh. You say, can you do it? Oh, yes, you can do it. Oh, yes, you can do it. You can stay right up on the mountaintop, or you get way down low if you allow yourself. You've got to help keep this fleshly man walking. You've got to help keep this spiritual man talking right. You've got to help him move right and do right. Do you believe that? You've got to allow this inside man bring every part of you subject to the Word. And the only way he can do that, that's he's trying, he's forcing, and he's pulling when you're bucking. How many knows that? A lot of time we're bucking on God when God's trying, that inside is trying to say, get over here. Don't you go this route. And you'll push right over top of it, but you reap what you sow. Is that right? If you ride over it, I'll guarantee you'll pay for it. I paid for it every time I've ever rode it. I've overrode the voice many times, and I paid every time. And I'm telling you, as an old man, you will pay. You won't get by. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And brother, he'll make you pay right here. Sometimes you don't think you can never quit paying. You better watch out before you go. I tell you once, you'll pay the rest of your life. There's many people that's paying, and they'll pay all the days of their life for one bad mistake. Is that right? You would wish 1,000 times you never took that road. You'd wish 1,000 times you never overrode that voice. You can't override it. But I guarantee if you do, you'll pay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I know that. I'm not an old man and don't know that. Listen, friends, I've learned a lot. Oh, boys, make a lot of gray hairs and go through a lot of worry and everything. But I tell you what, I've learned a lot. And I'm still learning. Do you know I'm still growing? Do you know I'm still pressing? Do you know in one sense of word, we are called babies yet? Do you know that? Do you know on
until we take the change, get in that word form body, you haven't reached your goal yet. I mean, it knows what I'm saying. See, the scripture's got to be right in the body.
Don't let some preachers get a hold of this and be saying this, though, because they can't write in the body. They don't know what Brother Branham's saying about being a baby. You remember, Brother Branham explained him through, in one sense, you're not a baby. But in another sense, if you're talking about the theophany, and I ain't made it yet, and I'm growing, I started out as born again, as a baby, and I'm headed there, then I'm going to tell you, I'm in a process.
Amen. But in the other sense, my soul of the Word is God Himself. But he's building another man around that, and that starts out a baby and gets there,
it'll be an adult. Oh my, we'll get a message on that here maybe shortly, and we'll try to help right and divide the word, and that there's a truth to it. I'm adult in one sense, and yet I'm a baby in another sense. I'm still desiring the censure of the milk of the word that I may grow thereby. I'm growing to that.
I'm going to that. I won't be satisfied until I awaken his likeness. See, there's no stopping point here. That means you're limited here. You're trying to mature. You're trying to get there. And you're building that man. There's some every message you hear. It's building something on this inside of you, whether you know it or not. It's bringing you to a higher point. Is that right? It's taking you from a baby to that. Thank God that he's got something, that we're taking on something. We're maturing in a sense. There's a body being built inside of me.
Oh, my. Hallelujah, Lord.
But see, all of this got to be right in the body. See, you can say in one sense a word, I'm a grown up in the sense, and I am. But in another category, there's something going on. Don't you feel like you're a baby sometimes? You know you do. And God allows you because you ain't reached that place yet. That place is that theophany. That place is that other body where you'll act like a mature son there. You won't have no problems there. You won't dawdle around there. You won't fail there. You're doing it here because you're a baby. Glory. I'm waiting. I want to move out of this. I got too much of a baby here, but I want to grow up.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, sir. I want to get rid of this baby stuff. It's hard on me. Makes me pay. Is that right? The baby pays a lot of time. Is that right? To get where he's going, it pays. He gets many knocks, gets many bruises. Is that right? Amen. After a while, he wants to learn how to walk.
Yeah.
Is that right? He wants to be strong. And that's the way we feel. I want to be strong. I'm weak, but thou art strong.
Yeah.
Help us, Lord. But I'm trying to tell you, there's something waiting. In that, you'll be strong. Won't be no weakness there. You won't have to say, I'm weak, but thou art strong there. You'll be just as strong as he is. Oh, my. That's right. You won't lack nothing. You lack something yet. Can I tell you that? You lack something yet? Don't you feel you lack something yet? That means you ain't made it yet then. In that sense, now always remember, we say we made it, then we say haven't made it, almost like a double talk. But we know what we're pointing to. When Brother Branham said you're a baby, when you're born again, you're a baby. A lot of times he don't clarify that. Then he goes on, you pick it up again, you find out what he's talking about. Then in another sense he said, no, you're not a baby, you're an adult, but you've got to realize what he's talking about. Everything got to be right in the body. These preachers can't do it. You know why they can't do it? No revelation. They don't understand these things. And it blows their mind. You can talk on this side for a while, on this side, and they say, well, there, he's contradicting himself. Did you hear him tell me the other day? We're not babies, we're adults. Then you hear him figure, baby said, whoa, see what I told you? It shows they're liking something.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
You've got to watch what you say around these preachers. They just grab them. No, you know they don't have a revelation. You don't want to put more in their hand they can handle. They kill you with it. Is that right? You can't put a gun in some people's hand. They'll shoot you with it. Is that right? It's the truth, friends. I'm just saying, I don't want to put a gun in some of these preachers' hands. I can't trust them. They don't know how to handle it. They'll end up shooting me with it, and I give them the gun.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Don't you give nobody a gun. You know they can't handle it. They liable to shoot you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Then you feel responsible for it. You know, because you give them the thing to do it with.
Amen.
Oh, my. So much of my time is about gone. So here he says, according to as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to his good pleasure, having predestinated us. Now, there was a time that I didn't understand that I was predestinated. I didn't understand that that was me. See, but there come a time that he opens my understanding enough that I understand that I was a thought, an attribute of God before there's the world. Amen. Oh, that began to ring a bell in my heart. That began to do something for me. Then he comes a little further. He makes it so real that my spirit bears witness of his spirit that I am the Son of God. Something in me begin to bear witness. And friends, you got to have the witness. Oh, you cannot go without the witness. There's got to be something in you that bears witness to this word. I'm being real honest with you. I'm getting to be an old man. There's nobody could tell me that I'm not part of God now. Now, I'm saying that strongly. I'm saying that even with the fear of God. There ain't nobody can tell me that I'm not going back to where I come from. I don't care what you would say, how you would block me. I've already passed that, friends. I've already have a revelation. I've already see who I am, and there ain't enough devils could ever turn me back. I know that I'm a part of this word. I've seen my day. I've recognized the part of mystery that I am, the part of this word. I'm the headship. I recognize that. I'm not confused. I'm not trying to be the feet. I'm not trying to be the waist. I'm not trying to be the mouth. I'm not confused. I'm the head.
Yeah.
Brother Branham said even a woman's got a head.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So this is headship time. Is that right? The body's got to have a head. Is that right? The body can't function without a head. That's why the body couldn't do nothing until we got here. The body couldn't know all of these things until we got here. We got an intelligence that they couldn't receive down through the ages. The body couldn't handle it, but we can now. Oh, look what a glorious message we have now. You could have taught this theophany to them down through the ages. Down through there, Luther would have shook his head. It blew his mind. Wesley talking about this kind of message, it blew their mind.
Yeah.
It blows the people in this message's minds now.
Yeah.
Without a revelation, it's not even for you. It'll blow your mind. But you today that are predestinated, when you leave here today, you say, I believe that. I believe every word of that. I believe that's part of me. Ain't nobody can talk me out of it. Even though I have problems, I'm weak yet. And that proves you, they ain't got that word formed body yet. That's all that's proven. It shows you're lacking something yet. You're not matured yet. You ain't made it yet. In that sense, can you see? There's something being formed in you. And you've got to come to that maturity. Can you see it? And this is all of our inheritance. See, well, we got the earnest now, but I don't have my inheritance. So I'm trying to cash in on some of it. I'm trying to say I'm rich. You know, I'm trying to say I've got all of this. I mean, in a sense, I'm saying I got a word for him body. Even though Satan would try to even talk me out of it, but yet I know it's real. All of this is part of my inheritance. See, I've got the down payment. See, that word for him body has to come somewhere. It has to move on the scene. I've got the down payment. I've got to get it all after a while. The full payment is about ready to come. Can you see what I mean? Sometimes we worry about the full payment. Don't worry if you got the earnest money. He'll hold it until the full payment comes. And the full payment is fixing to come. And this is part of that full payment. Can you see it? Oh, Lord. I can't really wait. I'm talking about, you know, how much I'm worth. I can't show it all right now. But, oh, my, I'm worth millions. I'm just not able to bring it all on the scene. But one day you see it. One day you see what I'm talking about. Oh, my, I want to talk to you when I'm in that theophany. I want you to tell me then how much I'm worth. Amen. I mean, there won't be no downfalls. Won't be nobody tell me I can't write the check for that much. I am the check. Amen. Is that right? I'm trying to write it now, but I've got to be that. Oh, my. So much, so much. Let me get a quote in here, and I'm going to let you go. I brought two or three books, but I just want to read the one, Melchizedek. And when you get home, I won't take all the time, but all from page 12 to about 16, 18. If you'll read that, he just, Brother Bam, dealing solid with this. Just solid. He got on this thing because, remember, it was time to understand who is this Melchizedek. And Brother Brand, read in 1965, he said it quite a bit. Christ is revealed in his own word, glorious things in that, see. These kind of books is dealing with the theophany. He really goes into this in here. And this in here was preached in August 1955, you see, the 22nd. And then we got Melchizedek here. This is preached in February, the 21st, 1965. And these kind of books, now like I read that to you, the word God's only provided place for us, 1965. And the one quotation was 1964. These is the main books that Brother Branham deals with this subject on, these four or five books. Now, he hits little sketches in the others, but he goes in more details in these books that I'm giving you now. And Melchizedek proved real thoroughly. I mean, he goes into it. Real good. So let me, if you'll just give me a little bit of time, I'll read just a little bit to go along. And I pray that you're getting something out of this. I pray that it's helping you. I pray that it'll make you stronger in the way your faith I'm talking about. Because you're going to something, you see. And your faith has got to build, see. So there's heights and depths in faith. And we're moving to this. So Brother Branham on page 12, he began. He said, there is his attributes. You don't remember it, no, because you were just a part of his life. You are a part of God when you become a son or daughter of God. You as are a part of your earthly father. That's right. He said, you're the male carrier, hemoglobin, the blood, and that has gone in the egg, then you become a part of your father. Now he's telling you how you got here. And your mother is a part of your father also. So you're all a part of your father. Glory, he says. He said, that's less than denomination. Now that leaves denomination out. He said, a part, in other words, altogether. It leaves them out altogether. Certainly it does. God in all, the only place. Notice now his attribute. The attribute was first God, the thought. The attribute itself in all in one. The attribute itself all in one without being expressed. See? Without being expressed. And when he expressed secondarily, he became then the Word. I talk about God. First, he just had his attributes. If there are nothing expressed, then he become the Word. That's the word form we're talking about now. Now watch this. See, he bringing himself down, bringing himself from eternity where he could become visibly. Now watch what he says. He said, and then the Word was made flesh and dwell among us. He first become the Word, and then the Word was made flesh and dwell. It's God bringing himself down all the time, coming from spirit form to word form and to flesh form. You know, these three kings, you know, King Theophany, King Jesus, flesh, and King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. And then three, everything in threes. And it come that way. So it showed, and it was all him. All of these kings was him. Brother Bam said all this king ended up in one. He was all of it.
just like you, your body, soul, and spirit. But you're all one, in a sense. You see what I mean? Okay. He said, notice in the beginning, before the eternal. Notice in the beginning was the Word. That's when time began. It was the Word. But before it was the Word, it was an attribute or a thought. See? Then it was expressed in the beginning, was the expression of the Word. And we're getting there, Melchizedek is. We're getting where Melchizedek is. He says, that's the mysterious person. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hold that there now, he said. Notice, his first beginning was spirit. Now we know that. God, supernaturally, all right. The great eternal, second he began to form himself towards flesh in a theophany. Now he began to form himself towards flesh. And by doing that, he come to that word form first. Now, okay, he was in the form of a theophany. Now, we'll get to that and prove it in a few minutes, the Lord's willing. He was the Word. A theophany is something that you cannot see. Now, what you see? That you cannot see. It could be right here now, and yet you cannot see it. It's just like, well, like television. That is in another dimension. Say, like television in another dimension. People are moving right through this room now, singing. There's colors. There's also, but the eye is only subject to the five senses. Amen. So all the eye is subject to. He can't pick up this other without some kind of transformation of God, see? Okay, your whole being is only subject to five senses, rather. And you are only subject to what the sight has been limited to see. See? Limit to see. But there is another dimension that can be seen by a transformation by television, he said. Okay. Notice now. The television does not manufacture the picture. The television only channels it into the circuit. And then the television screen picks it up. But the picture is there to begin with. The television was here when Adam was here. The television was here when Elijah sat on the Mount Carmel. The television was here when Jesus of Nazareth walked the shores of Galilee. But you just now begin discovering it. See? Been here all the time, but you just now begin discovering it. They wouldn't have believed it back there. He said, you have been crazy to have said something like it. But now it's become a reality. You know, God has a time for everything. Just like Luther, I said, if we'd have talked this to Luther's age, it wasn't time. It blew his mind. It blew his mind in Wesley's age. It blew their mind in Pentecostal age. But now it's time for us to begin to pick this up. It's time for us to begin to see this. There's a purpose for it, and you better be happy that you see it. It shows that you're part of it if you can see it. It shows there is something waiting you. So he revealed himself in his great form of what he claimed as his immorphy, himself into his servants, and proved himself. Now here he is in the form of spirit. Then he becomes in the form of immorphy. Now he appears to Abraham immorphy. When Abraham was returning from the slaughter as the king, here come Melchizedek talking to him. Okay, now the other day in Tucson, let me just jump, skip a little bit of it. Coming on down here. Now here's where he says, this woman hit this. Now watch what he says. Well, each one of them testified the car chugged and hit the man. Cars behind her. Two, three other cars. Chugged and said, hit the man. He went up in the air. Everybody saw it and witnessed to it. When the police come out, they all witnessed. Yes, sir. The man turned flip-flops. I mean, he flatly went up in the air, chugged, and they found out, let's see, oh, here, two or three carloads of them. See it happen. Come to find out 5 years ago, there was an old man with an overcoat on, hit and killed on the same spot. See? On the same spot. And when you leave here, you're not dead. Now watch what Brother Man, he's trying to connect us with this theophany. When you leave here, you are not dead. That old man wasn't dead. That's what he's trying to tell you. Proved he wasn't dead, he'd come back.
Right.
let the car chug him again, see what they do with him a second time.
Yeah.
He was trying to tell somebody else something now because he'd already went on now. Everything is for a sign or for something. God does these things sometimes. Try to tell somebody else.
Amen.
You know, he's got ways working on you if thou cannot believe. You know, if I'd have been there witness that, it'd have sure made me talk to myself when I went home. I'd have said, wait a minute. This is a little deep. What's going on here? Now, here he says now, so he said, now God in the state of his creation, later formed into flesh, Jesus, from what? Form of a great beginning spirit. Now has come down to the Word, bringing itself out. The Word doesn't yet make itself. It's just spoken out. That's in morphe. See, just spoken out. Before it was made flesh, it was spoken out in morphe, word form, just spoken out. But hadn't come to its final state. Okay, he says now here. Spoken out in morphe. Later he become flesh, Jesus mortal to taste death for all of us sinners. See? First he was spoken out. He was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. It was spoken out and had become another form, but it still hadn't come to his fleshly form, but it was spoken out, bringing himself down that he could come mortal. That's what the flesh said. He had to become a kinsman redeemer. Don't you see? Okay. And when Abraham met him, he was Melchizedek. He unfolded here what all of his attributes will do in the final end. All of us. Every one of his attributes has got a theophany. See? And every son of Abraham, every son of faith, will absolutely do the same thing. But I want you to watch how we have to come. Also, we see him revealing here in Ruth and Boaz as a kinsman redeemer. He has to come to flesh. Now we see the attribute sons of his spirit have not yet entered into the word form body. A theophany. But this body is subject to the word. And the earnest waiting for the earnest change of this body, the mortal. We receive the earnest in this body, he said. Then we're waiting for the change. Okay? He said, now the difference between him and you as his son, see, he was at the beginning the Word, the amorphe. You wasn't. You didn't come amorphe. You didn't come the Word at the beginning, but he did. The amorphe body. He came and lived in that person of Melchizedek. That's first. Then later you never heard no more of Melchizedek because he became Jesus Christ. Melchizedek was a priest. But he became Jesus Christ, and now you bypass that because in that form he knew all things. And you have never been able to know that yet. See? Never been able to know that yet. That's all things. Okay, able to know that yet? You become like Adam, like me, he says. You became from attribute to flesh, to be tempted. But when this life is finished here, this earthly tabernacle will be dissolved. We have one already waiting. That's where we're going. That is the Word. We can look back. As we get there, we can look back and see what we have done. See where you come from. Look back if you get there. Say, praise God. It's been a long ways around. I've come down through and I've been messed up and I've been redeemed. And here I am, the Word. Word form. Come and see where you look back. Ain't there going to be one? Well, what it is, see, in this all knowledge, all knowing. And he'll let you know that you've been redeemed. He'll let you know that you come a long way around. You bypassed this thing, but you finally got it. Jesus, God had come down through and done his job, but we had to bypass because we weren't subject to all this. We'd be tested in a different manner than he was tested in a sense. Because, see, he had to not fail. We had to fail. We still messed up. See what I mean? Jesus came and even was tempted, but he didn't fail in the temptation. We failed a lot. Because we fail, we didn't know Satan's all tricks. Jesus knew every trick. Because he was God. See what I mean? Even though his flesh would have bit it. But by him being God, he knew every trick of Satan. You don't know every trick of Satan, so sometimes he pulls it on you.
Yeah.
You don't tell me you do. Sometimes maybe he pulls it on you and say, "Woo, I shouldn't have bit that." I mean, I've been bit. The serpent's bit me. Remember, serpent bites you, but the serpent didn't bite him. By him having all knowledge, all knowing through the theophany, he could raise up and run him off. Sometimes we got to go through things. Sometimes he lost this.
Yeah.
But then we'll come out victorious. Okay, I don't want to keep you too long, so I'm going to close here very shortly. But watch what Brother Barron said. Never heard no more of Melchizedek. He was a priest coming on down. You come in flesh to be tempted. And when this life is finished, the earthly tabernacle will be dissolved. Come on down. Looking back and seeing what we have done. Now we don't understand it. Now see what I'm telling you, limit. Now we don't understand it. I don't care how spiritual you are, you're limit. So don't ever think you know it all in a sense. You're limit, see. So he said, now we don't understand it. We have never become the Word. We've just become the flesh man, not Word. But look clearly, made it clear, you will never be the Word unless you was a thought at the beginning. That proves predestination, he said, of God. See, you cannot be the Word unless you were a thought. And you had to be in the thinking first. But you see, in order to stand temptation, you had to bypass that theophany. You had to come down here in flesh to be tempted by sin. And then if you sin, all the Father has given, we will come to me and I will raise it up at the last day. See, you've heard, you had to be first. And then you see, he become right down the regular line from attribute two. Before the foundation of the world, his name was put on the book of life, and then from that he become the Word, and then a theophany, and that could appear and disappear, and then he become flesh and returned back again, resurrected that same body in a glorified condition. Same body in a glorified condition. I want you to get that point. But you bypass the theophany and become a flesh man to be tempted by sin. And then at this earthly tabernacle, he keeps going over because he's using 2 Corinthians. He wants you to see how it worked. Yeah, that's the scripture for it. And the reason he's going back over, he's giving you scripture how you do change bodies. You do have another body. He said, we have already waited. We have not yet these bodies. See, a lot of people try to say we got these bodies. A lot of people in this message said, we have these bodies in us right now. But Brother Bannon said, we have not these bodies. So I'm junior. Understand, we do not have these bodies. Because I read your lesson, you cannot have two bodies at the same time. But you can have two natures at the same time. Okay? So here we go now. He said, when this is dissolved, already waiting, we have not yet these bodies. But look, when the body receives the Spirit, now I'm talking about when these bodies receive the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it throws the body in subjection to God. Hallelujah. Now that shows we do have a control tower then. If you don't have nothing to call to you, and you can do anything you want to and get by with it, there's something wrong. Can you see? When people can do anything they want to and get by with it, have no husband to tell them they can't do it, there's something wrong. I'd be afraid where you're going to end up at. See? Anyway, that shows headship, friends. Any person don't honor headship, I fear where you're going to end up at. See, that's why you should never buck headship. If you can receive headship, it shows that you're part of God. If you can't receive headship, he's showed you in Hebrews 12, you're a bastard and not son. Now that's plain talk, easy to be understood. If you buck headship and can't give a headship, you're not part of God's predestinated plan. That don't mean you don't have a problem with it, but that means you will acknowledge it. And when you don't acknowledge headship and you spat at your husband and never apologize, never make it right, you try to run the home and never get in line, I'm going to tell you, you have no representation. I'll be the first one to tell you, you are deceiving yourself. So the only thing I'm telling you, if you've got a problem, work on it. Is that good advice? If you got a problem, work on it. That's what you're here for. You're here to work on it and get out of a baby and go to that. Can you see it? If that don't mean you won't mess up, but that means there's something in you. Say, hey, apologize. Make it right. If you sash your husband or something, make it right. If you had a little cross words, don't carry that chip on your shoulder. You get it off. You go in the bedroom and you tell him, I'm sorry. Brother Branham told us don't even go to sleep till we do it. Now, I know a lot of times we don't do it. But Brother Branham said, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. You make restitution. You make things right. He said you should never turn over and go to sleep. If you've had any quarrel, had any difference at all, you should never close your eyes until you say, honey, I'm sorry. I mean that too. I believe that. I believe as much as the Bible says it. I believe the prophecy. And I can be a witness of that. And that's why it's hard for me. And my wife can tell you. She can turn over, go to sleep, don't even bother her. Now she said, married adult, it don't bother her. She'd go for a month. That'd be lucky. If you squeeze her, might get an apology. But you'd have to squeeze her. But I'm going to tell you, there's something in me that makes me weep. I'm restless. I can't live with myself. I want to say, I'm wrong, or I'm sorry. And I wrestle with it. That shows you something there. If you don't wrestle with it, you turn over, go to sleep, it don't even bother you. I fear for you. I'm being honest now. I know when I do wrong, I roll with it. And I'm not proud of it. I'm sick. And that shows there's something there. If you don't get sick, I wouldn't want to go where you're going. No, sir. No, sir. Now, friends, I'm saying this to help the bride. Even though we have the problems and we do get out of line, but it's not wrong that you're going to help you. Do you believe he can help you? Yes. Oh, yes. Can God help you? Yes. Well, if God can help you, I'm sure your husband can help you. That's the tide, don't you see? So don't override it, friend. Don't buck headship. Whatever you do, please don't buck headship. It's one of the dangerous things. I watch that through everybody. And when I see you bucking headship, that's one that I fear. I fear. If you can't get where you can come in under headship, you can't go. Now, I have to tell you that according to this message, if you can't come in under headship, you cannot go where I'm going. Amen. That's the reason why myself, I want to allow God to check me. See, remember, I have somebody over me. You might not be over me, but I do have somebody over me. And if I can't come subject that by the word, by him calling to me, and I know the word, me being a preacher, and come subject to that will be unto me. Even though y'all might not see it, and I can really rake you over the coals. But remember, he rakes me over the coals. So always remember, I don't get by either. Now, don't let nobody tell you Brother Church gets by. Brother Church does not get by. And Brother Children, in other words, the word stops me. And the word makes me cry. The word makes me say, I'm so ashamed of myself. Lord, I'm so sorry. If you give me another chance, I'll definitely try to be a better boy. I'll want Satan the next time. He got me this time. And I wouldn't have hurt you for nothing in the world, but I was tricked. And Brother Branham calls it trick. Brother Branham calls it because we don't have the knowledge, the understanding sometimes they want to have of Satan. Sometimes he tricks us in our stupidity. Is that right? And don't tell me, well, all ain't got a weakness. A little bit on the stupidity side. Now, don't tell me. Yours might not be what mine is or something like that, but we all have a little bit of stupidity about us. You might as well acknowledge and say, yes, I have it. It's so much it makes me sick sometimes. Seems like that's all I see show up. It's stupidness. Is that right? See, to acknowledge these things will help us. If you think, you don't have no problem, I don't have somebody else, that's bad. You can say, it's me, oh Lord, standing in your prayer. So if you're going to take a husband, make up your mind you're going to take his headship. Because you can't make it without it. Woman can't be saved without it. I've said that. And it shows whether there's something in you where you can bring yourself subject to the word and apologize. Now, it's not so wrong. Don't feel bad when you get out, because I tell you, I think we all get out. I'd be the first one to tell you, me as a pastor, I get out. I really do. Maybe y'all don't know it, but I do. And I live with myself. And I get out, and sometimes God puts the brakes on me. And I'm trying to tell you, I'm human, but I'm not justifying. No, no, no. I'm not covered up now. Don't you think I'm covered up? No. And I'm not going along with bad living. No, I don't. No, I don't. No, I don't uphold wrong. Oh, no, 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 no. Never could I uphold wrong. If I uphold wrong, woe be unto me. I'm going to tell you, if I'm wrong, I'm just flat wrong. I mean, there's no justification for it. I can't make no excuses. There won't be one excuse. Stand the test. Only thing I can do is make it right. So in closing, we'll take this up probably next Sunday, the Lord's willing. But I'm going to tell you, there's some goodies, ladies, in here. There's some more we need to know. And friends, if you got that theophany, you're going to become a subject to the word here. That's the very proof that there's something waiting you. If you are coming subject here, you don't have to worry about whether there's a body there. Because you're the only one that can come. Always remember, nobody outside this elect will come in under headship. We are a special class. We are a class that this word is tearing us up. Now, you know that as well as I know it. If you will speak the truth, this word gets on your toes every time it's preached. Can you say amen? It shows that you are human, but it shows another thing. If you can receive it and repent, it shows there's something waiting you on the other side. And you'll be glad that everything that you've done wrong, that you made it right. Because there is a house that you can't do wrong in. But as long as you're in this house, you will do wrong. And you'll have to repent. I don't care if it's up to the last moment just before we take a flight. We'll probably be repenting. I'm being real honest with you. I'm being as honest as I can. Because if that house is sticky till the resurrection, that means I'll have a problem till the resurrection. Is it that simple? Simple terms, I don't have no problem with it. If anything's sticky, I know to watch it. Don't tell me it gets unsticky. If he says it's sticky to the resurrection, that means it'll be sticky to the resurrection. That means you'll have problems. I don't care how much you work on it. Yeah. Working on it just showing there's something right in you. Mm-hmm. You know, keep working on it, working on it. But that don't mean that you get all the stickiness out of it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That don't mean for the last 5 years of your life you won't be sticky. You apologize to your husband for the last 5 years. You say, well, I'll pass that now. I never have to apologize anymore. No. As long as you're in this mortal house, you'll have to apologize. Yeah. To somebody. To somebody. I believe that with all my heart. And if you get where you can't apologize, some wrong. So all of them saying, children, let's act like God. Let's be like God. And if we do mess up, let's have enough love for this truth to bring us back and say, I'm sorry. And pick you up and go on. You know what I'm telling you yet. See, don't let Satan accuse you and hang you down now. Put you down. No, 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 no. You're justified in one sense. Always, only reason I can get up, I know I'm justified. If I didn't have this revelation, I probably would give up. I'm being real honest because, see, Satan would tell you, you can't make it. You know that. He'll tell you can't make it. If I would look at my house and my spirit realm, I'd say I couldn't make it. The only thing tells me that I can make it, there's something on the inside says I've already made it because he made it for me. Is that right? He's already made it for me. So I want to close there because I'm a little long. My wife says I read it, then out of the Bible, and I preach it, and then I read the quotes, and she said I just wore her out. But if she ever gets on the other side, I can preach to her, she won't wear out. That shows she's got a dying mortal. And she should be wanting rid of that same as I am. So, honey, put up with it for a while. It won't be too long. After a while, maybe you won't have to hear me going over this and saying we make mistakes and we mess up. So God bless you, honey. Sometimes I just want to single her out. You know, that's my love. You know, if anybody that you want to make it, it's always that's close to you. How many knows that? Brother Branham wanted his wives to make it, his children. something closed. And that's the way I'm on my wife. Me and her might have a little difference, but we want to make it. The fact that we're determined to make it. And what she can't do, I'm going to try to help her. Shouldn't we feel like that towards one another? If I could be a help at all, in her weakness, if I could strengthen her at all, I don't want to hurt her weakness. I want to help her. Let the strong bury the infirmities of the weak. Now, you might not think you can help somebody, but you can. You'll find somebody in life that you're stronger than they are. I believe that. Then you'll find somebody in life stronger than you are. But we need each other. What I'm trying to say, we need each other. And the ones that are strong understand this. Solomon, do you understand this? Amen. You got the point. Amen. So God bless you, Solomon. And Belinda, God bless you. So there's nothing wrong that God can take care of. Now, what I'm saying, that means I'm trying to tell them they will have some problems. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to say they're bad all the time. You didn't say that. I'm just trying to tell them they're still mortals. And by being mortals, Satan will visit you.
Yeah, man.
And especially if you get married. More than ever.
Yeah.
You'll have so much joy in everything now, you might not even recognize it now. You just ride over. But that's law, you know. Yeah, when you come way up to live with it. When you come back down there, you find there's still problems down here. Right now, you might be. How many understands what I'm saying? If us married couples, you know, it ain't all lovey-dovey, is it? Boy, he's seeing now, I'm telling you, they so wrapped their minds. Oh, my, they're riding high. Boy, after a while, when they got to go out there and the devil's in this and the devil's in that and the money's running short here and not enough to pay the bills here and the bill collector on your door, you know. Say two jobs in it now. The wife, I don't see you as it is. You can't work no more. Oh, you have to do a lot of talking.
That's all it
is. Yeah. And then when you get that, about 2 o'clock in the morning, you want to sleep, you've got to get up and he said, Lord, I don't know. I know that all been like this. I might have been better off trying to make it by myself. I got problems. But you say, well, it's worth it all. Look at her, you know, and say, honey, you got a kind word for me? She says, yes, son, I still love you. And you look at her and say, honey, I love you too. Let's pull together. We'll make it. Could you get the baby quiet for a while? Let me get a couple hours sleep. Because, honey, if I don't make some money, we none won't survive. 2 hours sleep would help. I've told my wife many times, we raised 5, and I've heard a lot of wow. And I'd say, oh, please, honey, if you could just get up and take care of it a while, rock it, do something. Just let me get a couple hours sleep. I'd be glad to make it. But remember, honey, I've got to work. I'm the breadwinner. And I had to push her out a few times because she sleeps a little softer than I do. She could lay on the baby more than I could. I mean, I couldn't lay on very long. One time at squall, I was off of it. If I turned over on it, and in our younger days, when we raised them, we put it right in the middle. We didn't raise ours in little beds and nothing on them. We slept right with it. When it squall, it's right there. I'd hunch her, honey? Lena. Honey! Please! 2 or 3 hours to daylight. And I had no sleep. I mean, you bothered me. You're sleeping too sound. I'm getting jealous here. I mean, she knows. But she's been a good mother. I tell you what, now she's hungry with the children. My wife has been a good mother. It don't mean I had to scold her, just had to wake her up. Oh, now she'd tell me every once in a while to take my turn. I mean, she'd try to. I mean, she'd say, well, now, is it just me? I said, oh, honey, I got other things to do. But you know, man always has to, you know, he justifies himself. I'm telling all you young fellas. But it is, sure. So
So praise God, honey. We made it. We raised five. She tells me all the time she don't want no more. She almost thinks when I get closer, she's going to have another child. It bothers her. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, she is whipped with children. I mean, she loves her grandchildren, she said, because she can unload them. She's just a little while and she can unload them. No more of her own. She's been whipped. That's what she tells me. I have been whipped. You know, I talk about twins or something. She said, get somebody else. No more babies your house. You ain't doctoring none. You ain't done nothing. You're raising yourself. That's the way my wife sounds. If there's any more children come here to this house, you raise them. So I have a perfect understanding of how she feels. Amen. We're going to let you go. Did you enjoy it? Isn't it beautiful? You know, we can still be human and be a Christian too. You know, God understands. He understands me talking like this to my wife. I can't get her to smile, especially when I'm talking about babies. Honey, you don't have to worry no more. No more. You've had your last one. I mean, I've got a revelation. I'm trying to get that revelation. You don't have to worry. You won't have no more. I guarantee you that. Oh, bless her heart. Yeah, I guess when you have five and put up with all, and she's raised a lot of the others too. She don't want no more. So y'all tell her, please, that she won't have to worry. Amen. Let's stand if we would. I've enjoyed it. Amen. Ain't you glad you got a pastor like you have? I'm not all sarcastic, even though I might rake over the cold. Yet I come right back and cheer you up. See, we've got a lot of young couples anymore. We've got a lot of young people. And they're getting married right over handy here.
Yeah.
And praise God. Don, if we don't get them in adults, we'll get them in babies, won't we?
That's right.
We're going to beat them one way or the other. Right? So praise God. I appreciate y'all. I couldn't even preach if it wasn't for you all. I got to have somebody to preach to. See, preacher can't just preach without somebody to preach to. Belinda here, I get to preach to her. She looks at me every once in a while. But she's got to get used to adjusting to her pastor now, you know. She's caught. I'm trying to tell you, you're caught. You don't know how to pull up the Solomon, you've got to put up with me. When he gets off your case, I get on it. Heavenly Father, Lord, truly, that's the bride's desire to be just like you. If you are the Word, let us be the Word, living now in mortals, in dying mortals. But Father, without your quickening power, we cannot be that. Lord, it takes you to make the Word express. We cannot express it ourselves. Let the life of Jesus Christ come in and express that life out through these dying mortals, bringing our houses subject to the Word. When we want to go one way and our soul's trying to take us another way, let the soul, let the husband man win. Let the wife always surrender. That is our closing prayer. Lord, let the wife surrender to the husband. That's the only way that we can go and make it together. Father, without your help, we cannot do it. We can still say that we're weak and thou art strong. We are pressing towards the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. And we realize we still got a goal set before us. We're looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh, Father, help each one of us as we leave this place, but not from thy presence. And this afternoon, when we've got to come back at 3:30, be in our midst. Bless the congregation that's come to fellowship with us. And let the Holy Spirit minister and visit us once again. Then what's accomplished, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So God bless you. You can go for a while. Thank you, Lord.